where every whisper could be your last. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Welcome to Hidden Killers. I'm Tony Bruschi. Picture this. After 35 years in prison, Eric and Lyle Menendez could be walking free before the last Halloween candy hits the shelves. The Los Angeles District Attorney, George Gascon, has suggested that a decision on their resentencing could arrive any day now, with a critical hearing set just weeks from now. What happens next could change everything. But the real question isn't just whether these brothers should be released, it's why they ended up behind bars to begin with. Were they cold-blooded killers driven by greed or victims of unimaginable abuse at the hands of their father? With fresh allegations from a former member of Menudo and letters from Eric resurfacing after decades, the story takes on a disturbing new dimension. This isn't just a courtroom drama. It's a look at trauma, family secrets, and whether the justice system is capable of redemption. Gascon faces political pressure from all sides, and his decision could be as much about optics as it is about justice. So, as the clock ticks down, one thing is certain. Whatever happens next, the Menendez brothers' saga is far from over. It's been 35 years since Eric and Lyle Menendez were convicted of killing their parents, Jose and Kitty Menendez, in the lavish den of their Beverly Hills mansion. The crime was brutal. Jose was shot point blank in the head, while Kitty was struck multiple times, her face left nearly unrecognizable. From the very beginning, the brothers admitted to the killings, but the question that still divides public opinion is why they did it. Prosecutors argued greed, claiming the brothers wanted their parents' fortune. But the brothers' defense painted a different picture, one of two young men pushed to the edge by years of sexual and emotional abuse, claiming they acted in fear their father might kill them to keep his dark secrets hidden. Despite a dramatic first trial ending in a mistrial, the second trial concluded in 1996 with both brothers sentenced to life in prison without parole. And that seemed to be the end of it, until now. Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon has confirmed that his office is considering a recommendation for resentencing. His decision, expected by the end of this week, could mean freedom for the Menendez brothers before Halloween. This revelation has sent shockwaves through both the legal community and the public, reigniting fierce debates. On one side, supporters argue that the brothers are victims of severe trauma who deserve leniency. On the other, critics call the move reckless, claiming it undermines the severity of their crimes. The upcoming resentencing hearing, scheduled for November 26, 2024, offers a narrow window of possibility. If Gascon decides to recommend a reduction in their sentences, the brothers could leave prison much sooner than expected, potentially altering their story from one of lifelong punishment to one of redemption. This possibility puts Gascon in a difficult spot, especially during an election cycle where every decision is scrutinized. His opponent, Nathan Huckman, has criticized the timing as a political maneuver aimed at swaying public opinion. The push for resentencing gained momentum after new evidence surfaced, painting a more complex picture of Jose Menendez. Among the most startling revelations is the testimony of Roy Rosselló, a former member of the 1980s boy band Menudo. Rosselló alleges that Jose sexually assaulted him when he was just 14 years old, adding weight to the brothers' claims of ongoing abuse. In addition to Rosselló's allegations, a letter written by Eric Menendez to his cousin in 1988 has come to light. In the letter, Eric detailed the sexual abuse he endured at the hands of his father, describing incidents that occurred just months before the murders. These revelations cast the brothers' actions in a new light. Could their crime have been a desperate act of self-preservation, a traumatic response to years of unrelenting abuse? Gascon, acknowledging the gravity of the new evidence, stated, "We have a moral and ethical obligation to evaluate this carefully." However, his office remains divided, with some attorneys skeptical of the abuse claims, while others advocate for a new look at the case, arguing that the justice system failed to account for the psychological trauma the brothers suffered. The Netflix series Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, has played a significant role in reshaping public perception of the brothers. The show has stirred sympathy for Eric and Lyle, introducing a generation of viewers to the idea that the brothers were victims as much as perpetrators. Public interest in the case has surged, and supporters argue that the brothers have served their time paying for a crime they committed under extreme circumstances. At a press conference last week, Kitty Menendez's niece, Karen Vandermolen, spoke in defense of her cousins, saying, "No child should have to endure what they did. Their father's abuse shattered their lives, and the court's failure to recognize their trauma only compounded that tragedy." Family members argue that the brothers have been rehabilitated and are no longer a danger to society. The decision facing Gascon is as much a legal dilemma as it is a political one. With re-election on the horizon, Gascon is under immense pressure to make a move that will resonate with voters. His opponent, Hochman, has accused him of exploiting the high-profile case for political gain. "It's suspicious," Hochman said. "Why now? So close to an election. This isn't about justice. It's about votes." Gascon, however, insists that politics play no role in his decision. In a recent interview, he explained, "This is not just a question of guilt. It's a question of whether justice was truly served. If the new evidence could have altered the original verdict, we owe it to these men and to society to revisit the case." Gascon admits that the opinions within his own office are split. "Some members of my team don't believe the abuse claims. Others think the brothers have been rehabilitated and that the evidence of abuse warrants a second look." He adds, "Ultimately, my job is to weigh these perspectives against the law and decide what is right, not what is popular." With the November 26th court date fast approaching, the Menendez brothers sit in their separate cells waiting for a decision that could change everything. If Gascon recommends resentencing, the brothers could be released just days before the hearing, re-entering a world that has changed dramatically since they were locked away in the 1990s. Supporters argue that the brothers' release would be a long-overdue correction of a legal wrong, a recognition that trauma can drive even the most unthinkable actions. Critics, however, warn that releasing the brothers sets a dangerous precedent, sending the message that even the most violent crimes can be forgiven if framed as a response to abuse. For Eric and Lyle, the outcome hinges not just on the law, but on public opinion, political strategy, and the shifting understanding of trauma and justice. As Gascon deliberates, one thing is certain. Whatever he decides will spark controversy and shape the legacy of one of America's most infamous criminal cases. The Menendez brothers' case is one of the most infamous family murders in American history, not just because of the brutality of the crime, but because of the tangled motivations behind it. At the core of the defense is a claim that still divides legal scholars and the public alike. Did Eric and Lyle Menendez kill their parents out of fear and trauma, or were their actions a cold, calculated attempt to access their parents' wealth? In the late 1980s, the understanding of trauma, especially sexual abuse of male victims, was rudimentary. Society often struggled to recognize that boys could be victims of sexual violence, especially when it involved a powerful figure like Jose Menendez, a successful music executive. Today, however, mental health professionals acknowledge that childhood abuse can severely impair emotional development and decision-making, sometimes triggering extreme, even violent, responses. This evolving understanding plays a crucial role in the renewed legal scrutiny of the Menendez brothers' actions. Over the years, legal experts have argued that the original trial failed to give adequate weight to the psychological impact of long-term abuse. Witnesses during the trial testified about the brothers' volatile home environment, where Jose ruled with an iron fist, and Kitty appeared emotionally detached. Eric and Lyle's claims of sexual abuse were dismissed by prosecutors as an elaborate ruse, a defense meant to deflect from their true motive, greed. However, modern psychological theories suggest that their violent outburst might have been a classic fight-or-flight response, a desperate attempt to escape a situation they believed could escalate to their own deaths. The brothers testified that their father threatened to kill them if they exposed the abuse, and their fear of retaliation became overwhelming. This raises an important question. How should the legal system account for trauma-driven violence when the abusers are family members? Another complicating factor in the Menendez brothers' case is how quickly they embraced wealth and luxury after the murders. In the months following their parents' deaths, they spent lavishly on expensive cars, designer clothes, and luxury vacations. Prosecutors seized on this behavior to portray them as heartless, greedy young men. But mental health experts suggest another possibility, that the sudden access to money provided a psychological release from years of repression. In their minds, the spending spree may have been less about greed and more about the thrill of newfound freedom from their father's control. What makes this case even more compelling today is the introduction of new evidence, including the testimony from Roy Rosselot and Eric's letter to his cousin. These revelations lend credibility to the brothers' original claims of abuse, forcing the public and the legal system to reevaluate the motivations behind the murders. With 35 years in prison behind them, the Menendez brothers have undergone counseling and are considered by some to be rehabilitated. Yet, the question remains, should they be released based on this new understanding of trauma and abuse, or should they continue to serve life sentences for their crime? As the clock ticks toward Halloween and George Gascon's decision, we find ourselves standing at a crossroads, one that challenges our perception of justice, trauma, and accountability. The Menendez brothers are no longer the reckless teenage murderers captured in grainy courtroom footage from the 1990s. They are middle-aged men, hardened by decades behind bars, but perhaps softened by reflection, counseling, and time. But the deeper question remains, does that time served and newfound rehabilitation erase the brutality of what they did? It's easy to look at the surface of this case and see greed, the luxury spending, the Rolex watches, the new cars. But what if those were simply coping mechanisms for young men finally released from the chains of abuse? Can we truly judge trauma responses through a moral lens that doesn't account for what came before the murders? Gascon faces immense pressure, with political opponents framing his actions as a campaign move and the media adding fuel to the fire. But the truth is, this story is not about votes. It's about the blurry line between justice and mercy. If Eric and Lyle's claims are valid, they were children trapped in a nightmare, doing the unthinkable to survive. If the new evidence is real, if Jose Menendez was indeed a predator, what happens to the narrative we've carried for 35 years? Still, there are uncomfortable truths we can't ignore. The Menendez brothers gunned down their parents in cold blood, executing their father and mother in a crime so violent it rattled even seasoned detectives. Redemption may be possible, but accountability cannot be swept under the rug. The balance between punishment and forgiveness is the delicate act we're about to witness. So, we're left with this. How do we judge the Menendez brothers today? Through the lens of their crime or through the lens of trauma and rehabilitation? Is 35 years enough for what they did? Or should life without parole remain their sentence no matter the psychological scars they carried? We don't have long to find out. Gascon's decision could come before Halloween, marking a pivotal moment, not just for the Menendez brothers, but for our justice system as a whole. Will it be mercy, or will the iron bars stay locked tight for two men caught between fear, trauma, and violence? Only time will tell. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others like it, be sure to subscribe. And as always, justice, like truth, is rarely simple.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.